Well, we've been in the midst of a series on honouring God in the midst of everyday life. And if you've been here over the weeks that have gone by, you'll know that we've been working our way through different aspects of life. And nothing that's a part of our lives has been excluded from the focuses that we've had and where we've looked at God's Word. And the last couple of weeks, we've looked at relationships. Pastor Andy spoke on honouring God through singleness, and then what it meant to be a good steward of that. And then Michelle and I tag-teamed last week in terms of the marriage relationship. And if you were here last week, I guess I should ask the question, were there any problems that led to a kiss this week? Picking up on what Michelle shared last week, if some of you are looking very blankly, that's because you weren't here and didn't hear it last week. Go to the website and you'll understand. Speaking of problems, we can have a problem if we miss seeing a car in our blind spot when we're driving. Ever had that happen? It's happened from time to time to me. I think I've got it all covered through the mirrors. And then, where were you? I didn't see you. And that's where... the head check comes in. I must admit the head check doesn't always happen for me, but coming out of a couple of years ago where my kids and I was teaching them to drive, they picked me up on that sort of thing. Dad, you've got to do head checks. And so I was reminded that of the importance of blind spots when it comes to driving. But in life too, we can have blind spots. And this morning we're going to do a head check about something that can easily be a blind spot in our lives. Honouring God by taking care of our bodies. As I said, we've looked over the last couple of weeks at what it means to be a good steward when it comes to relationships, singleness and marriage, but what about our bodies? We take care of our cars, we take care of our homes, just to name a few things, but do we take care of the bodies that God has given to us? Now, let me say right at the start, caring for our bodies is not something we should do for our own purposes. It's not about the image that we project. It's not about ourselves. Ultimately, it's about God. And ultimately, caring for our bodies is a part of God's purposes for us. Because everything we are and everything we do in life needs to come out of thinking and living biblically. And that's one of our core values here at Bay Morris Baptist, thinking and living biblically. And when we go right back, which I'll take you right back before we come to the reading that Lindsay read to us, when we go right back through the Bible, we find back in the Old Testament the principle or the concept of shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word that is found 397 times in the Old Testament. And the equivalent to... the equivalent word in the Greek, in the original language of the New Testament, is found 89 times. And shalom is a word that is often associated with peace. But shalom is about much, much more than peace. Shalom is actually about well-being in a whole sense. Shalom includes a sense of vitality in all dimensions of life. And shalom includes this principle of being a good steward of what God has blessed us with. And shalom ultimately is about when our lives are fulfilling God's purposes in a whole way, including our physical and mental well-being. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. What does it mean from God's perspective to care for our physical and mental well-being? Our bodies are probably, other than by our salvation by grace, the most amazing gift in life that we all have. The most amazing gift from God. The human body, with all of its components and all of its complexities and the way that our bodies function as they do, as we go about every day of living life, is truly incredible. God created our bodies. And God created our bodies in a wonderful way. Psalm 139, many of you would be familiar with the words of Psalm 139, but let me remind you of them when it says in the middle part of Psalm 139, reading from verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Bill Hybels put it like this. The human body is no fluke of evolution's process. The human body is God's design and it is God's handiwork. The human body is God's masterpiece. It is the ultimate synthesis between function and beauty. Our most advanced technology in life pales in comparison to the capabilities of the human body. And I don't know about you, but when something stops working in one part of our bodies, we realize how amazing our bodies are, because when something stops working in one part, it can affect or it can even cripple the effective functioning of the rest of our bodies. And yes, our bodies do wear out over life and over time. And yet when you look at the Bible, you realize that God has a plan for eternity for our bodies even. It speaks about the resurrection of our bodies, and we will have new bodies and complete bodies as a part of God's eternal purposes for us. And in the process of our bodies wearing out on this earth, we can't control everything about that. But what we can control is how we care for our bodies. Why did God give us bodies? God himself even came to earth as in the form of his son, and he chose to live in a human body. John chapter 1 verse 14, we read, "Now the word became flesh." The word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God himself is an embodied God, a God who chose to live in the form of a human body. But why did God give us bodies? God gave us bodies so that we could use them to honor him. Not use them for our own purposes, ultimately, but use them to honor him. Not give us bodies for us to reject our bodies. Not give us bodies for us to seek to perfect our bodies and become obsessed about our bodies, but not for us to neglect our bodies either. We call them our bodies, but really they're not our bodies. They belong to God, who has entrusted them to us. They're really not our own. They're God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses that we touched on last week, and we'll come back to briefly for a moment. It says, "Do you not know," 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." It couldn't be clearer. Now, the primary context of these verses, as we looked at last week, is to do with stewarding our sexuality within the gift of marriage or singleness. But the principle is the same across other areas. Our bodies belong to God, and they are temples of the Holy Spirit. The temple was a place of worship, much like this church building. The equivalent of the temple today is this church building and this church property. And naturally, we all want to see the church property taken care of. We all want to see the church building looking good. We don't want to see it looking in a shambolic state. We don't want to see mess all over the place. We don't want to none of us want to see things falling apart. And I'll pause here and say that we are grateful as a church community for Frank and Rob and Sabina, who happen to be back this morning, even though they're not meant to be, because they're on an extended trip. But we're grateful to Frank and Rob and Sabina and others on the property team, those who mow the lawns, those who do things, serve unassumedly around the church property to take care of the church property. We thank God for them, and we honour all those who do that. But even more important in God's eyes than taking care of our physical buildings, the temple, the church buildings, is taking care of our physical bodies within which he lives, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we understand this difference, this should make a critical difference, because then we understand that our bodies are God's property. Our bodies belong to God, and we should be taking care of them. With this in mind, let's then come to the verses that Lindsay read, which I don't usually do that, but this morning we've gone to the Message because I think it expresses it in a way that really connects with each of us. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. The offering that we bring before God, when we understand what this means, the offering that we bring before God extends beyond our finances. When we will later on in the service take up our offering, the offering we bring before God extends beyond that to our everyday ordinary life. Sleeping, eating, walking around, as it's described there. Now you might say, well, those don't seem like particularly spiritual things. But to think that way is to misunderstand what spiritual is. In reality, everything in life is a spiritual thing, including caring for our well-being, our bodies physically and mentally. Place it before God as an offering, it says. Let us pause and think about offerings for a moment, because in the Bible, it shows us that the kind of offerings we place before God matter to God. Right back in Genesis, after God had created the world, in Genesis chapter 4, we see the brothers Cain and Abel bringing offerings before God. And one of them, Abel, one of the brothers, brings the best offering that he could to God. And we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, that God looked upon that offering with favor. God looked favorably upon it. But then as we read into the next verse beyond that, we discover that Cain brought an offering as well, but Cain's offering was only some of what it could have been. Cain brought not the best that he could, the leftovers, far from the best really. And God did not look favorably upon that kind of offering. So when it comes to what we place before God as an offering, it's important. It's something that we should not just trivialize and say it doesn't really matter. So let's get practical in terms of application of this when it comes to caring for our lives physically and mentally in a way that honors God. And three particular areas that we'll look at that really are expressed here in the Message. Number one, to start with, am I getting enough sleep? You might say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, let's go right back to Genesis again. Genesis chapter 1. When God created the world, when God created life, back in Genesis chapter 1, what comes first? You may never have noticed it. When you look through Genesis chapter 1 and everything that God created, at the end of it, it says, in that day, it says there was evening and then morning. It doesn't say there was morning and then there was evening. In every act of creation, there was evening and then morning. And I think that speaks to us. And the Jewish life, actually, the evening was the start of the day. It was not the end of the day. They began their day with the evening, with sunset rather than sunrise. And I think it speaks to us of the importance of rest in God's eyes. Life is meant to have a rhythm, where we get enough sleep by night to prepare us for all that God has for us to do by day. And I'm aware here that some have medical issues that prevent good sleep, and that's something for which medical help is needed. And there are ways in our world today. Amongst the medical field in which help can be sought in these things. But for the rest of us, if that's not the issue, for the rest of us, it's a discipline issue. The word discipline often has negative connotations, but it's actually linked to the word discipleship. To be a disciple of Jesus, we need to be intentional about things. John Ortberg puts it like this: arranging to get enough sleep is actually an act of discipleship. Have you ever thought of it that way? Arranging to get enough sleep is an act of discipleship. Making sure that we don't burn the candle at both ends. Making sure that we actually rest enough in order to do what God's called us to do by day, to be as productive and as efficient and as effective in that and as energized in that as we can be. Sleep is a critical factor in that. I'm not a doctor, but God's word tells us these things long before even the medical field did. Secondly, am I watching what I eat, our diet? One of the downsides of living in a part of the world where we have an abundance of food is that we can easily not be as careful as we could about our diet. And again, I'm no doctor, I'm no nutritionist, but I do know this. God never intended our bodies to be clogged up with high degrees of sugar, salt, or fat. Someone put it like this. A little extreme, but it makes the point. God filled the earth with fruit and vegetables of all kinds, so for people. Satan filled it with all kinds of cheap cheeseburgers and said to people, would you like fries with that? Would you like it supersized? And more than their meals became supersized. God filled the earth with natural yogurt, but Satan froze the yogurt and filled it with and topped it with chocolate M&Ms. And people filled out as well as filling up. Again, I'm no doctor, but I don't profess to be. But what God's word gives us the principles of is that our diet too is an important part of looking after our bodies. God never intended us to put junk into our bodies and to actually clog up our arteries and clog up our functioning because of our diet. Again, an important way of caring for our bodies. Thirdly, am I looking after my body by exercising and keeping physically fit? How and what you do isn't as important as doing some exercise as a part of being a good steward of your body. Now, some of you know that, and you might say, well, you're a fitness freak. Yeah, maybe I am. That's a part of me being a good steward of what God has given me with my body, and I set out to be really careful about what I eat. I set out to be really careful about the amount of sleep I get, and I set out to be really careful about ensuring that my body is functioning as well as it can be, so that I can fulfill God's purposes for me as well as I can, and live as best as I can, a long and healthy and productive life where I can serve God for as long and as effectively as possible. So for me it's running, you don't have to run, but I believe that taking care of our bodies involves some form of exercise. And you don't have to run half marathons and prepare for marathons like I'm at the moment. I'm in the midst of a training program for a full marathon. And you might say you're crazy. Well, yeah, even Michelle says I'm crazy training for a marathon. But the point is this: exercise of one form or another actually increases our capacity to function well in other areas of our life in the ways that God intends us to. And I hear many people say, I haven't got time. Well, we all make time for what's important to us in life. I haven't got time. For years, I said to myself, I haven't got time. I've got a busy ministry, busy week, busy family life. But it's usually more an issue of discipline than it is of time, and an issue of being well organized. We all make time for the things that we believe are important in life. Coming back to the biblical concept of shalom. Shalom is the place we're at when our lives are fulfilling God's purposes in a holistic way. And that includes our physical and mental well-being. We're going to move more into the mental well-being side of things now. Recent studies have shown it, but biblical principles from long ago have always shown it, that God created us as whole people. Physical well-being from sleep and diet and exercise and other ways contributes to mental well-being. It's true of me. And I would suggest it's true of most, if not all of us. And even in the Bible, we see this in the story of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet from God. Elijah was someone that God had done great things in and through Elijah's life. And yet Elijah came to the point where he felt overwhelmed. Elijah came to the point in his life where his mental state and his mental well-being was far from the place of shalom. Elijah lost perspective. And it's there for us in the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'll just read some of it for you. 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah was in a state, as I said, where his mental well-being was far from that place of shalom. And what followed to restore that? We just read about that. Sleep. He needed to rest. He needed to sleep. He ate. He needed to eat, and he then travelled, went on this journey, which was walking or exercise of some shape or form. But the other key factor, it seems to me, when it comes to taking care of our mental health, even the biblical principle is there out of the account of Elijah, is that Elijah found support. Without the angel of the Lord came alongside Elijah. And he encouraged him. Without that, the going would have been much, much harder. Elijah had isolated himself. We read that because it says that Elijah left his servant there, and he went out on his own. Elijah had isolated himself from others. But as God would remind him, he was a part of a community. There were others that God had placed around him that Elijah could draw support from. He had the angel who ministered to him, and God often brings angels, even in the form of people today, across our paths who minister to us at our points of need. But more than that here, we see God going on to remind Elijah of some things. In verse 10, as I read on, God said to the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty, but the Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. So Elijah has this sense of isolation that I'm all on my own. And what does God say as we read on? To verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel, Mahalah, to succeed you as prophet. And it says this in verse 19, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God is reminding Elijah, there's 7,000 others around you who are in a similar situation. You are not on your own. Being a part of a community and recognizing that, instead of isolating ourselves, having a support network of people is so important in caring for ourselves and our well-being, our mental health as well as our physical health. We've touched on a few different aspects of our ordinary, everyday lives that we need, as the message puts it, to place before God as the best offering that it can be. And I encourage you to just focus on one takeaway from this morning. You know your life best. You know your situation. What is one area that God is calling you to make a shift in or to change in when it comes to this area of caring for your body, I wonder? What's the next step that you need to take in that? It'll be different for each of us. But I encourage you, as we come to a time of prayer now, to place your life before God and to place that area before God as we will come to communion after that, and then to bring our financial offerings before God. But let's offer our lives before God afresh, and particularly thinking of that one area perhaps in your life, in your physical or mental well-being, that God is calling you to make a shift or a change in. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you you're a God that cares about every detail of our lives. There is nothing in life that is not important to you. Every part of who we are, your word tells us that you even know the number of hairs on our heads. And so you're a macro God, a big picture God, but you're also a micro God, interested in the little details. Thank you that you're our creator. Thank you that you've created us in a wonderful way. You've created our bodies to function incredibly as they do. And Lord, we don't want to take that for granted. We want to acknowledge this is a gift from you, and acknowledge that the life that we have and the way that our bodies function is truly a wonderful gift from you. Thank you that you're our sustainer. Thank you that without you sustaining our bodies day by day, they just wouldn't function as they do. And it's not because of us, God, so much, but because of you and your sustaining from us. But we recognize that we have roles and responsibilities in being good stewards of what you've entrusted to us. And you've entrusted our lives and our bodies to us. They ultimately belong to you. Help us to take good care of them. Help us to think about that one area perhaps that you call us to make a shift in or a change in, that one area that we need to be more attentive to your purposes in, whether that's exercise or sleep or diet or a support network, not isolating ourselves, but being a part of a community, Lord, and having others around us to continue to really encourage each other along the way. God, whatever it is, we pray that by your grace, you would help us to be intentional about taking the next steps as a part of our discipleship, as a part of our following of you. Help us, Lord, to not just do things in an ad hoc way, but help us to be really intentional about it under you, so that we can be the best. We can place the best offering of who we are before you. Thank you, God, that you call us to be your children. Thank you that you've dealt with our past and you've given us the hope of a wonderful future. And we bring our lives as a whole and we place them as an offering before you. Our everyday lives, our eating, our sleeping, our walking around, our work as we looked at another week, and our bodies as a whole, we just bring them before you now. God, we want to fulfill your purposes for us, and we want to be at a place of shalom in our lives where we are experiencing your best for us. We place the challenges and the burdens before you. God, you know the challenges that are there to us functioning in the way that you intend for us to. And you know the burdens that 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 can that can weigh us down and stop us from that. So we place them before you too. Thank you, God, that we're a part of a wider community, a wider country, and a wider world. Help us to be proactive as individuals and together as your people in this place in making a very real difference in our community, our country, and our world. We pray for your kingdom work, that we would recognize that we all have a part to play in that. And God, we can make a difference. We pray for the ministries of this church and those that we partner with in the wider world. We pray, Lord God, for the opportunity to experience transformational relationships, to be being formed spiritually and developing relationship and finding ways to serve and do mission through community and through small groups as a key part of that. So God, continue to help us as a church community, as we have different groups in different places with different functions that are all a part of your purposes for us. So continue to fulfill your purposes in and through the small groups and all that you're doing and seek to do further there. We pray for Will and Reshma as they are married this coming Saturday, and pray for your blessing upon them as they begin married couple. We begin life as a married couple, and we pray that we as a community, church community, would encourage and support them. So we pray that that celebration of their marriage on Saturday would truly be a time that's honouring to you and a real real significant day for them. God, as we bring our gifts and offerings in a financial sense to you, in a few moments, God, we simply acknowledge that you are the one that has entrusted us with all that we have, financially, physically, and everything else. God, may we be good stewards, and may you be honored in and through all that we place before you in every aspect of our offerings. And we ask this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.